As the federal government struggles with how to make better use of data, it could learn a thing or two from the states. The case in point is Indiana. It's harnessing data to solve problems and improve how it does business. In one example, Indiana had one of the highest infant mortality rates in the country for more than two decades. Officials have identified the causes and directed funds to programs that target at-risk mothers. Paul Baltzell is Indiana's chief information officer. He told me more about its data analysis program.
When Governor Pence came in 2013, he wanted to kind of change the paradigm, the way we looked at government. Instead of making decisions based on what we believed the root causes were, he wanted to try and use real data to drive those decisions, so kind of a data-driven decision-making environment, which allowed us to establish what we refer to as our MPH affectionately, but it's the Management and Performance Hub for the state of Indiana.
And so describe that hub. What does it consist of?
So the hub is, for lack of a better way to describe it, is a kind of a four-legged table. We have an open data website, which we feel is very important because it allows for greater transparency. It allows data to be shared so people can, you know, do some social good with it, and we can get things from the outside community. We have a physical location, which we built in the basement of the governor's office, which is built 100% for collaboration. The goal is to bring agency heads, key stakeholders, all the way down to, you know, caseworkers in the field who can come in and work there and look at data and try and understand how we can better get the outcomes we want to help people. And then there's also key performance indicators. So every agency has 3 to 5 key performance indicators, which they're measured on. And those KPIs typically in the past were reported manually, and they reported quarterly, not really in real time. Well, we wanted to automate those so there was no more manual process and be able to kind of even potentially dig deeper if the KPIs are going down or going to the worst side, I guess, depending on the KPI. How do we improve those? What's the cause of the reduced performance? And how do we increase that? And then case studies. So the initial one we worked on was infant mortality and child fatality, and we're getting ready to start on recidivism here very shortly.
Okay, so let me back up just a moment. Are there data sets that the various state agencies contribute to this hub that are then available for analytic tools to be applied against?
Yes. So we have participation from all the state agencies. That the governor's office support was extremely critical in that. We had an executive order in March of 2014, which really gave us a large push on the data sharing effort, because everybody then completely understood, you know, that the governor was behind this and he believed that, you know, data could solve a lot of our problems. So we have over a petabyte of data in total at the state, close to about 1.5 petabytes, actually. And we've pulled the key data sets in from that. So all cabinet agency key performance indicators are already coming in. So that's some pretty decent data sets from each of those agencies. And then we also pulled in specific ones that are useful to our infant mortality, for instance. So we have data on childhood vaccinations, data from Medicaid records, data from STD, HIV, a whole slew of areas. And that's actually about 5 terabytes of data and somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 billion rows, so right around there. And that has allowed us to find some key indicators of what the root causes of infant mortality are and kind of work our programs around them and find out which programs are successful with which people. So we're using that to help drive success.
Okay, a couple of questions here then. Do you have data scientists or people like that that understand data such that people can choose and use the right data for the right purpose that they have in mind, that the program has in mind?
We do have data scientists, but we've worked with outside vendors to get those resources because they're very hard to come by. There's a huge shortage in that area right now. But we've been able to work with some outside folks because typically what we found is you need those guys to come in for a very short time when you're doing use case work and work with the business experts as well as with some of your own internal what I'd call power users or statistical experts. They're kind of analysts, I guess would be. So those folks work together to develop the use case and the data sets they need and form the algorithms and hone those, and then they're not needed until we're ready to make the next change or take on the next use case, if that makes sense.
Sure. And then my other question about the data, then we want to move on to the case study there, but when you have all these petabytes of data, and you mentioned rows, are they all in structured databases, or do you also have unstructured data that's part of this whole pool?
We do have unstructured data as well. We have both. What we've actually done is the over a petabyte of data we have is inside of, we have two data centers, right? We have one where we have all the stuff already hosted, basically everything state agencies have. And then we have a disaster recovery site, which is actually at Indiana University. We leverage their data center so we don't have to have another facility of our own. So the benefit of having everybody in one data center is we were easily able to create a protected area because it has much higher security. There's no direct internet access. There's a extremely stringent change control process on it to even allow anything to come in, even if it's the request is going out for it. So because of that, we only pull in the sets of data we need, right? So that was a long time in developing the security procedures around that, but it was well worth it.
We're speaking with Paul Baltzell. He's the CIO of the state of Indiana. Now let's talk about that infant mortality project. Bring it down to real life here. How did that work and what kinds of results were you able to produce?
So Indiana, for the last 20-plus years, has been one of the worst states in the country for infant mortality. And quite honestly, it's something that I know is unacceptable to the governor. And I feel like most of the agency heads, as well as myself, feel like it's something we need to change, right? So everybody was excited to help with that particular project because we think we can do a lot better. And we hope also, if anything we find can help other states reduce their infant mortality rate, that's a win for everybody. So we found a lot of interesting correlations, and we've actually used that. We're in a biennium budget session right now, and we actually directed the programs based on some of the things we found that were problematic, specifically for mothers. And so we've targeted funds to help solve those particular problems. One thing we found is that prenatal visits, although mothers may qualify for Medicaid, so the prenatal visits would really be very cost effective and it wouldn't be a problem for them to receive the care, you know, cost would not be an issue. They, in some cases, just didn't have a way to get there, right? Or they might not have someone to watch their other child. So we're focusing our efforts on solving that because we found if you can get them to 10 prenatal visits, there's kind of an upward moving arching chart that literally when you hit 10 prenatal visits, it levels off. And if you can get those mothers to 10 prenatal visits, your chances of a successful birth are literally almost maximized.
And this was something that was discoverable thanks to the data and the algorithms in this whole effort.
Yes. Yes, and we were able to correlate with the fact that many times, you know, in the majority of cases, these mothers had the benefits, right? It was just a question of how do we get them to that? So one of the things we're doing is we're working with not-for-profits as well as, you know, some of the medical entities such as the hospitals to work out how can we connect those mothers? How do we connect them to those services they need to get there? And so we're directly targeting the programs to where we can help maximize the efficiency.
All right, let's talk about how you apply tools to the data. What sort of analytical tools do you use? Are they open source? And how does that all work?
So we use SAP HANA as kind of our back end to all this for where the data science is done, as well as we leverage SAP's Lumira product, which is it's a visualization tool, and it's been pretty fantastic for us because for folks like myself, who I used to be a techie, but most of the time my day is spent sending emails and having meetings and, you know, working on project plans now, you can sit down and drag and drop informational pieces and data sets that are accessible to you and have a dashboard that you can look at how things are going. I mean, I have dashboards on, for instance, on my key performance indicators for the agency I'm responsible for, and I can see how we're doing and which direction they're going, and I can turn it around and look at it in a variety of ways, and it helps me figure out if we're having a problem in a specific area, ways I can improve, and even if it doesn't look like a problem, I may identify areas where I can improve. So it's pretty exciting technology that's come a long way.